Hello and welcome to Tantrum Hour Report, Holiday Edition. Today we've got Sackville Mayor Sean Michaud taking a look back at 2021 and forward to 2022. Mayor Sean Michaud, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Erica, for having me.
Looking back on 2021, it's a bit of a trip. It feels like it's more of a decade than a year that's passed, typical of pandemic life. But when you think back on the past year, I mean, this is the year you were sworn in as mayor in Sackville. That's obviously maybe one of the highlights for you. As you're looking back on this past year and maybe your past 6 months in office as mayor, what stands out for you?
Well, it's amazing what we've been able to accomplish as a municipality, even in pandemic times, and what we've overcome. And, you know, there's been a lot happening in the community that staff have been involved with, our community has been involved with. You know, I think back to this summer and winning the participation grant for $15,000 and being the most active community in the province, and just the resounding success of the most recent Moonlight Madnesses, and we were able to hold the Chalk Festival again this year. You know, there's lots of good things, even in a pandemic time, that we've been able to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was certainly a number of events that were canceled in 2020 that were back in 2021, mm-hmm. although the long-awaited fall fair did get canceled at the 11th hour due to the pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was very unfortunate. And you know, those things, I guess it's how the pandemic flows, right? It's those things that you plan for the best, and if things don't go the way, then you try to find another way around it. How many attempts we had at getting those fireworks off, and here we didn't. We had them here. It was just incredible how many times we tried to do that and how they came to be. But, you know, I look at things, too, how council and staff created the recreation and sports subsidy program that's in place. And we've already distributed $9,500 on that. You know, that those are the positive things for our community that we've been able to do.
Now, there was some, pretty big changes that happened this year regarding the streets bylaw in terms of lifting the ban mm-hmm. on skateboards on town streets.
Yes.
And this new council also considered the possibility of funding a study to build a skate park, although that was turned down. Where do you stand on how Sackville is handling that recreation in the form and transportation on skateboards?
Well, it's important that there is a plan put in place. So if council is looking to advance in coming years funding to put in place a structure to ensure that there's a facility or a space available for recreational skateboarding, those type of activities, then I think it all goes hand in hand. And that's what I'd like to see happen. I find sometimes, this is my personal perspective, is that we have a tendency to spend money on studies, but yet we don't necessarily move them anywhere because the will of council changes and maybe their thoughts aren't on that particular thing, or maybe it's not a priority for them. So, if we're going to be committed, let's be committed. You know, let's commit the funding to it, and then in turn do it in a way that shows that we're constructing the right type of thing. And let's get the community behind it as well. We're seeing that in other communities, that the community is behind it, that the folks who feel it's important that are being a part of that activity. So it doesn't necessarily all rest on the town itself.
One of the big items this year actually happened before you were sworn in as mayor, I believe, but it's carried mm-hmm. over. There was considerable issue with the fire department. It resulted in a workplace assessment report happening. That came back. That hasn't been shared publicly. There's not much information out of that has been shared publicly, but, you know, can you talk a bit about how the town handled that, have we seen some resolution to some of the issues that we heard brought up by some of the former volunteer firefighters in the town?
So I, you know, that was one of the challenges for sure of this year, and having that workplace assessment completed was very important, and it provided the scope and the tools that will help staff kind of mitigate through this and get it to a better place. You know, being a personnel matter, you know, I'm not at liberty to discuss details and go into those details, but ultimately. As this has come about, is the importance of hearing what is happening with in the organization, the challenges that the members of the fire department face on a day-to-day basis, and ensuring that everybody has a healthy and safe work environment to be in, and you know, for what I foresee happening and how council is being brought up to date on the issue. It's moving in the right direction from what I can see.
So is that something where the recommendations that came through there that haven't been shared publicly, are those still in the process of rolling out?
For sure, it's a document that will continue to roll out. There's things that will have that can be handled and tackled right away, and things that will require further work, and that will continue to evolve.
One of the big issues in 2021 for Sackville Town Council was a rezoning that took place in Sackville Industrial Project, Sackville Industrial Park, on Crescent Street. The rezoning took place to allow for an abattoir, and that is now open. East Meets West Butcher Shop is now open in the industrial park. So that's sort of come full circle this year. You know, do you have thoughts on that process and how it went?
Land planning is probably one of the most important issues that any municipality faces and our province faces, and we have to ensure that we're following through all the steps. And is there room for improvement? I'm sure there is. I mean, if we look at our municipal plan and look at the process that we use in order to ensure that if we have to rezone, that we're taking the following steps, then those need to be identified. And I'm sure that after the experience with what happened with this particular rezoning, as we look at our municipal plan going forward, those type of concerns will be taken into consideration. You know, it's one thing that I've found in my years as a counselor is that, you know, since 1998, most of the most contentious issues as council that we've ever faced has always been rezoning, you know, and putting something next door to something else. You know, we will probably never overcome that, but we need to identify those areas where if somebody is looking to put a particular type of business, where can we direct them to? Where's the proper space for that? And that way, coming into it, developers and people who are looking to open businesses, they know, listen, here's Sackville, here's where they're indicating my type of business would fit. Okay, so what are the steps I have to take? And then what steps does the municipality or the land planning folks or Plan 360, what steps do they have to take to ensure that as they go through that process, if there's rezoning required, residents who are nearby have the opportunity to be heard.
One of the things I want to ask you about is heritage, just because in Sackville recently I've noticed there's a number of properties for sale. I'm not sure if actually they're still for sale, but the Marshlands Inn, 131 Main Street, and the Woodblock, all these sort of very big sort of anchor heritage properties, but also a smaller one we just saw recently, number 3 Bridge Street was demolished after being damaged last September in a fire. And I know that the town has had a controversial past in heritage and there is no more heritage bylaw in the town. You know, when you look forward, do you think that there's a gap there in the town's policies and bylaws?
Personally, I think it's something that we need to look hard at to ensure that we are maintaining a historical look and maintaining, if we're replacing buildings, what those buildings look like in specific areas. you know, the way, in my mind, the way the bylaw was written before, it created some hardships for some of our retailers in that core area that were, you know, bound by having to replace specific like windows and doors, et cetera. And I think it might have actually hurt the situation, the fact of people wanting to be supportive and the fact of maintaining a historical look and to our community. You know, it's with you know, the building there on Bridge Street. I mean, that was 1900, I believe, that building was built. And so what will go there? And ensuring that what is built there does keep up with the look of our community and having a similar structure or blends in well. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important. Will it hit the agenda this year? You know, we have a lot of issues that we need to tackle this coming year. And I know staff have a lot of things on their plate. We have more things introduced to us, with the pedway has come up again. And, you know, that's something that council will talk about further in regards to what the next steps are, what role the municipality plays. But, also with local government reform, that will take a lot of staff's time. So we really have to kind of figure it out where it fits in. Is it important? Yes, it's important. But we have a lot of challenges ahead of us in 2022. So where does it fit in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you see the town like having any role in the future of those big heritage buildings? And also there's one sort of standout that is a bit smaller, but that's the train station. I often wonder about, you know, what is the fate of these buildings, and will the town play a role in that fate?
Well, the town currently is playing a role with the train station. Staff are available with the help of Via Rail. If people are looking to repurpose that building, that type of things, you know, staff can put that time into that. When it comes to heritage, it's a difficult one. And is the municipality, is the town prepared to fund this type of thing? You know, that's a question for council. I mean, council will have to make a determination as they see the budgets over the next few years, what role the town plays in heritage and preservation of heritage. I mean, we have, some great volunteers within our community that are preserving heritage and have done excellent work. Maybe they're in a better position to tackle some of these situations. I'm not sure. But it's not something that it's an easy topic to take on. And council will have to make that determination where they go next when it comes to some of these buildings. If there's rezoning involved, it's kind of a bigger picture. I grew up in older homes in our community, homes that were built in the late 1800s and they had connection to the shipbuilding industry. And, you know, so it's an important part of our town. But at the same end, where is that line drawn? Is the expectations of the town folks and taxpayers for the town to actually play a role in being a part of preserving this with tax dollars? That's a really big question.
Mm-hmm. All right. And one other thing that last time we spoke, you mentioned the possibility or your interest in seeing a housing study, some kind of research into the state of affairs in Sackville. I know, right. There's a lot of anecdotal talk. We have a housing shortage. There's not enough apartments for rent. Certainly not enough accessible spaces. There's certain challenges that people talk about. Are you hoping that there's either funding available or the town will be able to do this to look at housing in a more serious way?
I think it's important part of where we go next. It's the challenge. If we're to grow and sustain ourselves as a community, I think that's part of it. It's, if we don't have the appropriate type of housing for folks who are currently here, for the future of the university and the fact of attracting, being able to attract students, you know, for our seniors right through to young people, it affects us all. And I think that's part, when we start looking ahead at a strategy, I think that's an important part of it. I know that that's being identified across the province in a lot of municipalities. The Union of Municipalities, New Brunswick, they have a webinar coming up soon in regards to housing. And you know, it's associations like this that need to be a part of leading the charge and grouping municipalities together and ensuring that we're on the same page and what role does a municipality play in this. You know, it's been something we've talked about at a regional service commission level, and the mayor of Moncton indicating to the board at a meeting here back a few months ago that, you know, homelessness is an issue in Moncton, but it's not just, you know, it's not just Moncton's issue. It's all of our issue, because the folks who are homeless in Moncton are folks from the region. And, you know, so they're struggling. So this is a regional issue as well. So, you know, it's a big one to tackle, and we've got to get our heads kind of wrapped around what responsibility as a municipality do we have, and regionally do we have, in regards to ensuring that people have affordable housing in order to live here in Sackville.
Now, I purposely haven't mentioned yet the sort of two really big things that have fallen in your lap recently. One of them being the continued problems with the Sackville Memorial Hospital and the lack of staff there. Looking into 2022, what do you see as town council's role in helping work on that problem?
Well, you know, it was something that we discussed right at first, is that, you know, healthcare falls to the province, but at the same end, what role can we play and what role should we play? And I think council has stepped up here. Council has been very forthcoming in the fact that ensuring that the Rural Health Action Group has our 100% support and moving forward and coming up with solutions and working with Horizon Health on the marketing specific to Sackville. Council has supported this through $5,000 this year, another $10,000 as a line item next year in the budget. And you're going to see, we'll need to see more of that. We'll need to see more of that push from council in order to stay on top of this, to keep people accountable, to ensure that, you know, this is the glue. This hospital is the glue to our, to where we go as a community, as a town. And we have to ensure that the services there are maintained. So, you know, you're probably going to see a council become more, pushing more to be involved with what's next. Like I said, the organization with through the Memorial Cook Chanchmer Community Task Force and the subcommittee, the Rural Health Action Group, they're doing leaps and bounds. A group of volunteers that have stepped up. It's so important. And, you know, again, this is the glue. That hospital is the glue, and we have to keep focused on this. So, you know, in my mind, I foresee council being very in tune to this and ensuring that they are well aware of next steps, and will be looking to the Rural Action Health Group to say, you know, this is where we can use your help. And I know council will be there, because this is so important to our community.
The next big thing on the to-do list for January is going to be facing the future of the municipality itself. We've heard back from the provincial government that they've issued the list of adjustments they're planning to make to their plan for municipal reform, and Sackville's proposed changes did not make the list. What was your reaction to that?
Well, I think it, as we all knew, Erica, that you know, this was distance, something that we were hoping would be considered, you know, it was a long shot, I guess, when it came to that. So ultimately, at this point in time, you know, they've kind of gone down the route. They've made some adjustments from what I can see here to some other local sewer districts. Sackville's proposal wasn't one that they felt was doable. And I believe it's important to focus on some of those initial concerns that were raised in our first letter to the minister.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that, you know, many of the other changes, there's movement from, you know, of one district to another. And a fair number of regions actually growing, some combining things like the village of Petit Kodiak, which was originally slated to be on its own, sort of a unique right. case in the province, is now going to be combined with a local service district. Do you think that Sackville perhaps, should have been sort of looking towards a proposal that included an expansion as opposed to sort of sticking to your guns and asking for no change whatsoever?
Well, as we've mentioned before, council has indicated that they're willing to look at any expansion on the boundaries, expansions that kind of made sense, ones that would be more, more within kind of natural boundaries, I guess, when you look to West Sackville and that type of thing. So, I'm not sure. I mean, having an opportunity to speak to some people around, when you talk about being against forced amalgamation, but and they see council making the suggestion of actually kind of pushing outlying areas together, but kind of leaving the community out of that forced amalgamation. It's hard to say what the best approach would have been. Ultimately, I think we have to focus back on that initial email. This particular one or the initial letter, this particular letter kind of focused on those concerns that we had around, the financial picture, the timing on this transition, the existing, municipal contracts, those type of details that I think are very important ones that we have to work through as we continue down the road of reform.
Mm-hmm. The province also announced four people to head up the transition, what they call it. The understanding had been that each new entity would have a transition team from the province. What's your understanding of how that will actually happen in reality? What kind of resources are coming from the province and who will be helping us?
Well, we've seen that information come through, in response to our letters to the council's letters to the minister from December 6th and the 16th. We did receive an email back from the minister yesterday and just kind of not necessarily formalizing, but just putting in perspective that facilitators will be responsible for kind of coordinating and overseeing the critical elements of the transition and that they'll have the teams will be led by facilitators and supported through provincial governments. So, we hope to see that information before Christmas in regards to the makeup of those teams, but we haven't been provided any details at this point in time.
You said you received a response back from the minister. Did he give any insight as to why the province decided to ignore Sackville's request for sort of reconsideration of this change?
No, there was no particular information in there. That just basically indicated that that they note the concerns that have been expressed, and we go back to that initial letter that council had authorized to be sent off in regards to the finances, the timing and transitions, and those particular items that have been noted. Within that notification back or the letter back, they want to continue to move forward with kind of a proposed approach and support that can be offered during that transition period to address these types of concerns and questions.
I've heard it mentioned that, people are concerned that this is a heavy-handed approach to municipal reform with the forced amalgamations. And they're concerned that the control of over how it happens, even if, now that the forced amalgamation is sort of inevitable, the control of the details of how it happens will be in the hands of the province. Are you concerned about the sort of democratic deficit there that the process seems to be leading us into in terms of how much control locals will have and, you know, in terms of shaping how this future Entity 40 works?
Well, there's always concerns over anything in regards to representation for the needs and the concerns of the community. Ultimately, municipalities fall underneath the Local Governance Act and fall to the province. We work on their behalf. So even the previous Local Governance Act had us in a position that we had to follow certain specifics in order to function as a municipality. In this particular case, you know, there are some things in there that can be of concern. Ultimately, you know, I get the sense that we need to work through the particular issues that crop up and happen during the transition. And we might find out going through that, that there may be things that hadn't been thought of. There may be things that will require us to have lengthening the kind of the timeline that had been put in place. But ultimately, when it comes right down to it, you know, when you have that kind of authority in place, and it's a, from my understanding, it's a temporary authority during the transition period. You know, there is concerns for sure, but until we get into the actual working through this, there's been nothing raised at this point in time that would indicate that we won't have the opportunity to have those particular concerns addressed that we've already called out. Time will tell here, and let's hope we don't get to that point where the province steps in and feels that, you know, our community and the outlying communities aren't in a position to kind of work through some of these details.
All right. It's going to be a challenging 2022.
It definitely will be, and you know, we have some big things on the go, and you know, I was just thinking about, you know, our levy's been canceled. We have the latest with the pandemic going on, and you know, it's some challenging times for us as a community and as a region and as a province, and ultimately this is the time that we have to kind of work towards some common goals, but also remember that we have people that we represent and ensure that, you know, some of those key services like healthcare are top and front and center as we talk about things like local governance reform.
All right. I appreciate your time yet again, Mayor Michaud. Thank you.
Thank you, Erica.
Any final thoughts before we leave yet today?
Well, I just want to wish everybody out there a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And, you know, show some goodwill this year and get out there and take advantage of the opportunity to be with friends and family. And you know, let's have a great 2022. We have some big challenges, but you know something? We have a mighty community here. You can make it happen.
All right. Many thanks, Mayor Michaud.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Tantramar Report, a special holiday edition, part of our Year in Review series. If you have questions or comments, please get in touch with us at news@chmafm.com. Hope you have a wonderful holiday. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.